B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, here's what Ian Rappaport tweeted a couple minutes ago. Sources, the Allegheny County DA and Police Department reached out to the lawyer for Antonio Brown's accuser, Brittany Taylor, regarding the first and second alleged incidents. The DA confirmed this to NFL Network, to Hollow Clay, who that's at Hollow Clay on Twitter. Holloway, assignment editor at NFL Network. There is a statute of limitations with both Allegheny County incidents, however. In Rappaport also screen grabbed the full statement from the Allegheny County DA on Antonio Brown's accuser following the inquiry. It reads, from someone named Mike in the Allegheny County's DA office, Clayton, I could tell you the following. Our office, along with the Allegheny County Police Department, made contact with counsel for the plaintiff in the federal lawsuit involving Antonio Brown. Procedurally, it appears there is a statute of limitations issue in moving forward with any inquiry involving the Allegheny County allegation mentioned in the lawsuit. Mike.
It appears?
Aren't you guys the law?
Pittsburgh.
Wait, you.
Wouldn't that
you
be pretty
guys
black
are
and
the
white too?
Prosecutors like, and the lawyers man, here.
That's still a country.
It appears. What do you mean it appears?
Well, look, we got a little glitch here.
It appears there is a statute of limitations
it
issue.
It does or it doesn't.
So there's a 2-year statute of limitations on what the charges would be for the accusations being made in the two Pittsburgh incidents, whereas the rape allegation would come under the jurisdiction in Florida, not in Pittsburgh, based on where the incident is alleged to have happened. But Allegheny PD and Allegheny County, they're out.
They're good.
They're checking out. So
reminds me of that scene from Copland when De Niro's in it, rip it all up.
Investigation's
over.
But that's their way of saying we wanted to investigate this.
Well, no,
we reached out. We called that lawyer on our own. We took the initiative to call the lawyer and, you know, made contact with counsel for the plaintiff in that federal lawsuit. We went out of our way to do that. We did our due diligence, but there's a statute of limitations issue.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN is, I think, probably communicating with the same people. And this incident that was in the lawsuit, June 2017, apparently the statute of limitations is 2 years. And he actually says, source said the DA made contact with intention to investigate. So this could, like, you very well could have been charged there. They were going to look into it. And so because it's September of 2019, doesn't appear, I mean, it would seem to be factual that the statute of limitations has run its course.
So I wonder, does this at all impact what is going on with the league? Does this impact
probably not
the investigation? I mean, does it impact their thinking, their opinion of it?
Probably not, because I think they're probably getting the same information the investigators would have gotten. And so I would think if she's fully cooperative. And so if AB cooperates with the league, then you know, he'd be giving them similar information that the Allegheny County would be getting. And like I said, like this is all about credibility, right? Like it's not about criminal versus civil. It's about the credibility of the accusation. Because the last thing the NFL wants is to be sorting through hundreds of civil accusations. You know, like the NFL doesn't want to open that can of worms where it's shelving guys for everything that are accused. Like that doesn't help anybody, because now then all of a sudden you have people coming out of the woodwork accusing players of this and that. And you've got a much bigger problem on your hands. But if there's credibility, mm-hmm. if there's some piece of physical evidence,
sure,
like that, just because it can't lead to a criminal charge now doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that the NFL can't say we've got this physical evidence now, like they had in the Kareem Hunt case. We've got this physical evidence now, so we're going to go ahead and put you on the exempt list.
All right, we got a couple extra minutes here with Bert. We can get to more of your calls. And so you got something before we do?
Regarding the quarterback situation down in New Orleans. So Rod Walker said he asked Sean Payton about if he has to now look at it and consider limiting Taysom Hill's usage in other formations where he could be vulnerable to an injury since he's now been elevated to the number two quarterback. His response was, you're assuming he's the number two quarterback now.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is on the roster?
Those two.
Who else can play quarterback?
Wouldn't be the three.
No, but he's talking about Taysom Hill potentially being the starter.
Oh!
Well, the $7 million backup?
I thought Teddy Bridgewater was the starter now.
I think there's some gamesmanship involved here.
I mean, but why do you got to go to that extent? I don't see Peyton go that.
Peyton loves Taysom Hill.
I'll tell you
what,
if you have a $7 million third-string quarterback,
you got a problem.
I'll tell you why your team is stupid and you don't even have to play the game on Sunday.
We'll do
the segment on Friday why the other team was stupid.
I will say this. I'd be surprised if we didn't see some sort of rotation between the two on Sunday.
Oh my God.
I think we're going to see both of them.
Maybe they can bring the plays in from the sidelines every other play.
Oh, God.
Or they can hold cards.
We're going to see both of them.
It's like a bullpen.
It'd be like
game.
Tom Landry at the end when he really went off the rails, when he had started to lose his mind.
You just go out there scheduled to go like a quarter and a half.
Two quarterbacks.
Bring in the next guy.
You have two quarterbacks. You have none.
Yeah. Peyton loves Taysom
Hill. Didn't Tom Landry do that with like Staubach at the end?
Danny White, right?
Yeah. Danny White, yep.
Danny's a hell of an athlete. I could throw the deep ball. I remember with his hat on and his feather in the side. I stood there with his arms crossed. I'm morphing into Shawshank, but.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, he was thinking about it.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to complete that. Paul's in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. The Yes kid, I think he was just one of those kids that didn't have the genetics, and he stayed in the minor leagues for a long time. And unfortunately, our kids are playing sports, and whoever makes the call, if you're a next nephew or next son, makes it to the sports and anything. But I have to say, on Antonio Brown, this woman waited until he landed a contract. I mean a contract for
I already liked your
So
Yastrzemski
they built their case
point.
In 2 days?
I already like your Yastrzemski point better, and I don't know what your point was.
Jim in Connecticut. Hi, Jim.
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to call in about the Belichick press conference this morning.
What's your problem with it?
That thing was so orchestrated that it was ridiculous.
It was a good one. We learned about Rex Burkhead.
Let him speak. Because he talked about the Jets like they were a Super Bowl team.
Huh?
Yeah, that's par for the course with Belichick.
That's what they
do. He always pumps up their
every
opponents.
Week.
He finds good in every single team, even if he has to go down to the long snapper.
Well, he did with the Dolphins last week, which was like the ultimate. Like,
it's been going on for 20 years now.
For as much
up the opponent every single week.
For as much disdain and call it disrespect, maybe you could say that Bill exhibits toward his fellow human beings, that does not apply to opposing football teams. And he always shows them the utmost, at least in front of reporters at that Wednesday press conference. They're always going up. You would think they were facing the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yep.
Week in and week out, he's always done it that way. Today was no different.
It's part of his process, and we're just going to respect it.
Yep.
Bob in Nevada. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good,
hey.
Bob.
I just wanted to say a couple of things about Eli Manning. First of all, if he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, he'll cry to his daddy, Archie, and Archie will make sure he gets in one way or another. The same thing that happened when San Diego drafted him out of the college. He said, I don't want to play for San Diego. Archie said, you're not going to play for him, and you're going to the Giants. And he went to the Giants. And then he's got to thank the Patriots for making, him win those two games. It wasn't him. It was the damn Patriots. Excuse my French. I'm sorry. But that's the thing. That's all I got to say.
You made two great throws. I saw him making a throw to Mario Manningham.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous throw.
I was 4 feet
throw.
From that Manningham catch.
That is
I'll never forget it.
Remarkable.
Right.
That had nothing to do with the Patriots.
A hell of a
had
catch.
Everything to do with Eli Manning.
Yeah. It's the only spot the ball could have been put to where he even had a chance.
One of the great Super Bowl throws of all time. And that's all Eli Manning. Nothing the Patriots did to hand it to him.
I don't think he should be a Hall of Famer. I take nothing away from how well he played in those playoffs. And it wasn't just beating the Patriots. He went to Lambeau and won in frigid conditions.
I thought that was one of his best games.
Right. He went to Lambeau 4 years later.
That's what Tom Coughlin's face almost froze off.
Yep. And then 4 years later goes to Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers was unstoppable that year. 15-1 Packers. Yeah. He goes into Lambeau and wins in that environment. I take nothing away.
Let's not revise what happened. I mean, those games were in those playoff runs for him.
They were great playoff runs. Like you take nothing. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but like you can't take anything away from what he accomplished in those playoffs.
Does he finish in New York or does he go elsewhere?
Well, he said publicly he wants to keep playing. So I take him at his word. I think it's going to come down to whether or not there's a starting job out there for him. I don't think he's going to go somewhere and be a backup, and I'm just not sure where the starting job is. Those things sort of manifest themselves over the course of a year. So, I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, do you make a phone call?
Jacksonville? Tom Coughlin?
Jacksonville? Not a big Gardner Minshew guy?
No.
Yeah, I'm just saying if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But if you want to add another veteran.
But Jacksonville's the one that everybody's kept an eye on for the last couple of years just because.
Yeah, because of the Coughlin connection.
Because of the Coughlin connection. And because they're sort of in a position where they're win now. They've got a lot of, you know, high-priced
players. Even if he just goes there and it's a similar situation to what he's in now, but a better team where, hey, we don't know what's
going to happen.
We don't
need you to be a superstar. We run the ball well. We play defense. We just need you to be the bus driver.
Right.
And he understands the... He understands the program, understands the way things are sort of.
But if you
suck,
we might go to Minshew.
Right.
Yeah. So that could be it. Bert, thanks for sticking around for the segment. Bert Breer of the MMQB with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We've got another pair of Patriots tickets coming your way next segment. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't care. Oh, sorry, my mic was open. Forgot. Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We got Patriots tickets, second pair for you, coming up at the end of the segment. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's amazing. It's amazing, Zoe. You can have a guest on the show, Kyle Van Noy. He could say something on the show. NBC Sports Boston will use it on their social media, and it's like it never happened on this show.
Oh, you mean like the show
it's
we're on
that they're on? It's remarkable. It's an irritation of ours.
What do they got, a 12-year-old in the tech department?
It's irritating. It's just an irritation of ours. I know you guys don't care, so I don't want to rant about it.
Whatever. Hey, you know what today is, though?
What?
National Cheeseburger Day.
Is that right?
Yeah. Go. Favorite cheeseburger. Mine's a Big Mac.
Big Mac. Like cheeseburger?
It's got
meat and cheese.
It's got a meat and cheese. Big Mac. Go. You got one?
Yeah, it's not going to be fast food burger. You know what the best burger is?
I mean, but like it's always the same when I get it. It's,
do you know what the best burger is? The Bubba Burger. That to me is the on
well,
your grill
like grilling.
At
yeah.
your house.
Okay.
That is the
that's
best,
fine.
My friend.
Yeah, your cheese, like yeah, Johnny Rockets, great burgers.
You got to break it into different categories. You got restaurant burgers. You have like the fast food burgers,
like,
and you got
like,
the store bought burgers.
Fast food for me is a Big Mac. Red Robin's got a hell of a burger. They really do. You go to some swanky joint. They got the knife in the middle of the burger. Hardy, your best burger.
DQ's pretty good.
Go. DQ, great. The ultimate burger. They still make them for me. Go. Go-to burger. Craving a burger. Where are you going? Don't necessarily have to sit down. Don't have to take the kids. Maybe you want to take the kids. Maybe it's something different all in between.
We need to address something.
Like
not
quick
burgers.
One? Quick one?
Yeah.
Five Guys.
Okay. Five Guys. Boom.
Oh, yeah,
like five good.
Guys.
Good burger.
All right.
Like
we need to address something. Speaking of social media, this is why social media came up. Jim asked me to address this, and so I will address this. There was a rumor last night, and that's all it is, unfortunately, a rumor about 90s throwback Patriot uniforms that they'd be making a comeback later this season for a game. Unfortunately, folks, it's just a rumor. There is no truth to the rumor at this time. So there's a tweet that people just took as truth from a Twitter account with couple hundred followers, and they all just started retweeting it and celebrating it because, listen, I get it. You're excited because you want that to be true because the fans of New England.
I don't want it to be true.
I think what people saw there was what they wanted. You know, they saw something that they like. They saw something they get excited about. And they.
Oh, look at that.
And they saw those royal blue uniforms of the 1990s, of the late 90s, and they got excited and they just believed it because they wanted to believe it. That's what happened. That's why this person on Twitter was circulating a false report.
It was X-Files-esque. I want to believe.
Yeah.
What if they were undefeated going into that game and they wore those uniforms, they lose to the Cowboys?
Oh, that would
be like the Belichick red.
But we pretty much have reverse confirmation of this now. Bill.
No, yeah. So it would be way less than the Belichick red thing.
Okay.
That would happen in 19-0.
Thanks, Jim.
But in response to that tweet, the Patriots Pro Shop has weighed in on Twitter.
Oh, they have?
The team will not be wearing royal blue jerseys on the field this season.
Oh, they even confirmed it publicly themselves
because
as well.
They're selling them.
Okay.
We're not sure where the rumors started that they would be worn on the field. It didn't come from us. We will, however, be carrying five former players in the mid-late 90s. Royal blue jerseys should be in stock by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Does this mean it's not true, someone asked? Correct. The team will not be wearing royal blue jerseys on the field this season.
Which is what I told you guys like 3 weeks ago.
Who would they be?
Because the league will not. Well, I know two of them, I think. One Brewski. Is Law, one is Brewski.
That's
Brewski,
big information that it's former players.
Well, I think Bledsoe is one of them, too.
McGinnis, Bledsoe.
I think Bledsoe, Law, and Brewski are three of the five. They should have a Zolak in there.
They should have current players with those.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
That'd be a big seller.
No. No.
So,
huh?
I just want to reiterate what I said 3 weeks ago when I updated everyone on where this stands because, you know, I've been a big advocate of this, and I'm losing the battle.
I don't even remember where it started.
I'm losing the battle.
Who had this cockamamie idea?
Never even heard
me.
Oh, was it you?
That guy right there, that guy.
My idea. And I'm failing. I'm failing everybody. I'm failing everybody right now, Hardy. And
not going to do
it. It's disappointing.
Well, the problem is everyone thinks it's a stupid idea, and that's why they're not going to do it.
Did you see Twitter last night blowing up? You see the fans of New England? You think they think it's stupid?
You know, everyone, think it was
they
stupid?
Were falling in love with that tweet last night.
Everyone hates your idea.
My man,
don't
my man,
do that to me.
My man Joe Gutting, who does those little figurines,
so
texted me today. He wanted to know if it was real because he's ready to make them.
I don't want to know about whatever jerseys are falling off a truck from China. I don't want to know about these Chinese knockoff jerseys you're making somewhere.
No, he's doing the statues.
But the statues, the figurines.
Statues. Oh,
yeah.
So this picture, this mock-up
he already
of Tom Brady.
Four bottles of Tester's Royal Blue. He's ready to do it.
I can already tell you that I took that picture
you can't even
and
find
took
that
it
color
straight
blue
to
anywhere.
Jonathan. I took it. I took it straight to him, mm-hmm. and I said, "You look at this.
Would you go to his house?
You look at this photo, and you tell me you're not going to sell a million of these jerseys.
Did you wait for him in the parking lot.
Stop it. Don't get wise. Don't be a smartass. Okay, this is important stuff.
Everyone hates it.
I showed it to him. He's seen this. He knows. In fact, he was on part of the team that had the input in designing this jersey back in the 90s. So he's very close to him as well. This is a cause that I think I can get him behind. The NFL is the problem here. It's a league matter.
Why? Why
they
would
won't
the league
let
care?
Teams do one-offs. They won't let you wear the jersey once and then put it back in the closet. So you can add a third alternate jersey that you wear all the time, but you can't just do it for one game and then never wear it again.
Haven't they done it for like the throwbacks, like the super
but
throwbacks?
But they bring them back for like
a game,
a season where they wear them three or four times.
Well, the color rush thing is like a league initiative. That's
a league
a
initiative.
Thing.
That's not a team thing.
Oh God, what are they going to wear? Are they all blue again?
So, you know, when they brought back those red jerseys or the white ones, it was part of the AFL. Remember that? Like the anniversary. And they wore them a number of times throughout the season. It wasn't a one-game thing.
Yeah, 94, the 75th anniversary, they wore those a few times.
League initiative. Every team was involved. So one team can't go off on their own and do one game, one team, their own deal. So it has to be part of a greater league initiative. Can't be doing your own thing. That's what it is. So we've been stonewalled on this. We've been hitting the brick wall. We're being stopped, and I don't like it, Hardy. I don't like it one bit.
I'm sorry. No one likes the idea, Beatles. I'm sorry.
People love the idea. People love that jersey. Just to do it for, I don't know, maybe a month. Maybe do it for like the month of October. Just wear those jerseys. Home and road. But it was just a rumor last night. There was no truth to the rumor. False.
Seems like
they put both back on the racks at the pro shop. What would sell more, Bledsoe or Zolak right now?
Bledsoe.
Right now? I don't know.
Oh, please. Bledsoe.
Who's buying a Bledsoe jersey now? It did back in the day.
Here's the thing. Fans. Everyone has a Bledsoe. Like, everyone that wants a Bledsoe jersey probably has one in the closet.
I think I might have three in the closet.
Right. See? You've got three Bledsoes in your closet.
Don't let any of your
Do you have a Zolak?
Everyone.
No, I think I have Katzenmoyer, though.
See, everyone has a Bledsoe. No one has a Zolak.
They weren't selling Zolaks in the 90s.
You couldn't even get them.
You'd have to
sell them?
No.
Not a hot seller. I do get a lot of requests for them.
Like, you'd have to order one and pay for the real ones, which are like $275.
George, the intern could get them really cheap.
Well, he's, again, from a, you know, Chinese website of, you know.
People that.
Illegal knockoffs.
People that get them and give them to me to sign say they do get them from the Chinese.
Jim will tell you that I love going to the games and looking for the cheap Chinese knockoff jerseys. I'm like, oh, there's a fake one. Fake jersey. That one's not real. Fake jersey. Oh, your stitching's a little crooked on your jersey.
Oh, still looks good.
The lettering on that Brady does not look right on the back of that jersey. That is not a real jersey. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Pete in Ohio. Hi, Pete.
Hey, boys.
Hey.
I have one of those Chinese Zolak jerseys. It looks damn good.
It sure looks great.
Yeah, you need to sign it for me, man. I'll send it to you.
Okay. You'll never get it back.
They need. Well, then wear it, right? Wear it on the air.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. So they can't do a red jersey. Like, they can't incorporate a red jersey.
No, not for one game. Got to wear multiple games.
Why can't they do that? You just said it has to be a league-wide thing. The team can't initiate that for multiple games?
Unless they want to make it their permanent alternate third jersey.
Yeah.
Well, right now they don't have an alternate, correct? They've got the color.
They don't,
rush.
But that would not go well with the silver helmet. You understand it? They can't change the helmet.
Yeah, that kind of would clash. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, they can't swap helmets.
Remember when they had a dishwater gray?
Oh, it's awful.
That was a permanent third jersey.
Couldn't stand it.
That was the permanent third alternate.
Well, isn't the red the alternate right now?
No,
no.
They do the color rush dark blue, all blue, nautical blue.
All right,
nautical blue.
Nautical.
Ask Celsius. It's a nautical blue.
Mm-hmm.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. You must call the contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on New York this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2 times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. You got to be caller 10. You got to call in right now. 617-931-0985. You'll get that pair of tickets. So be caller 10 right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
God, his music holds, huh?
It really does.
That Cream was freaky, man. Like, that song. I heard that the other day. I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. Sexy song.
I don't see any of the angry Yaz calls on our board.
Well, we got a lot of angry emails.
We got the emails, though.
The old guys took time to email.
Definitely got the email. You want to read a couple of them here?
Yeah, you don't understand the history. You're a sports boy.
Here's one from Peter. Peter says, leave it to you two knuckleheads. By the way, if you missed it earlier in the show today.
Yeah, Hardy did not do anything during it. Yeah.
It's fine. He wants to go after the
yell at him too.
It's fine.
Mike.
Yastrzemski.
Mike.
Yastrzemski.
Mike.
Yastrzemski. A man ain't called yet.
That was Jim.
Zoe and I failed to see the magic at Fenway Park last night. It was nice. Nice that a local guy from Andover, with obviously the ties to his grandfather being a Red Sox legend, hit a home run. That's cool. Mm. But the over-the-top celebration that started at about noontime yesterday.
With the stage walkout
for another Yaz at Fenway Park.
You didn't like the stage walkout?
Was so absurd and was played up to a degree that I thought was... honestly, embarrassing.
You don't find a bigger baseball and Red Sox fan than Billy Lanny. Billy Lanny had the tweet of the day.
I think he said yesterday. Wait, what?
It wasn't historic. It wasn't magical. It was a cool little thing. Everything gets blown out of proportion with the baseball crowd. It always does. They can never just have something nice and have it be a nice thing.
Here's where I disagree with you. It doesn't always get blown out of proportion. It doesn't always go over the top. The reason why it is right now with this team is because this team has made you feel nothing all season long beyond apathy.
You're numb to
them. They came out apathetic. They've suffered a couple of bad, you know, bad streaks of bad luck with injury and some, you know, the GM's gone.
So they were just these people are just grasping for something to feel. Something good about.
Let me feel good or bad. Someone feel all that bad because, well, God, we did win the World Series last year, and there's a couple of guys hurt, and maybe made some mistakes. Now I feel something. Now I feel something akin to nostalgia or something good. I can cheer a home run. Never mind the fact it was hit by an opposing player in your ballpark, but it gives me something to feel. I feel I don't even quite know what it is, but damned if I don't feel it. And that's what they were excited about, Beetle, because this is a team who made you feel nothing season long. You know what I felt? Disdain. I felt disdain over David Price and him mixing it up again with Eckersley for no apparent reason. But beyond that, I haven't felt much myself.
Peter says, leave it to you two knuckleheads to miss a meaningful event last night. Actually, he just says, leave it to you knuckleheads. So I don't know that he is leaving you out, Hardy.
Okay. I like Hardy's on email.
Leave it to you knuckleheads to miss a meaningful event last night. For those of us who live to witness the pleasure and pain of the Yaz years, last night was pretty special. Now let's get back to the Bruins preseason and AB's sex life.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, what? What people want to talk about?
Better yet, we can listen to you and the group have a loudest fart competition. But I still listen. No, the loudest fart competition is Toucher and Rich.
Oh.
6 to 10 a.m. That's they love the fart sound.
And those were the best segments I've heard on the radio in weeks.
They've got that covered. So you want to listen to them.
Yep.
They get the fart stuff every day right now.
Phenomenal segments.
Fart sounds hot on that show right now. So catch that with them.
Well, they're actual fart sounds. They're not just sound effect fart sounds.
Oh, no. They're
ripped from the headline fart sounds.
Yes.
And then they put those fart sounds.
Jim, you're a sound guy.
Into popular songs.
Jim, you pick awful sound.
So
why don't you find a fart?
Look, generally, as Fred has said before, you know, that sort of thing is reserved for NPR. All things considered, morning edition. I think it's okay for Touch and Rich to go into this realm every once in a while, even if it's not strictly sports.
And here we are. So TNR.
Prairie Home Companion.
TNR have
that
your
type
fart
of
sounds. Bruins preseason. I don't think we've talked about their preseason. We have talked about them signing two important players. We talked about the Bruins for half hour yesterday. We did. AB's sex life. I don't know that I'd call it his sex life we've discussed. Sexual assault allegations, yes. So that's one email. That was one, Zoe. How about this one from Terry?
Terrence! That's Terrence on it. Hello, Terrence.
Hello, Terrence.
Hello, Philip.
Terrence Bernard.
Who's your uncle?
He says, I listened to about 5 minutes of your dialogue this morning about the nostalgia of the Yaz week. It's a week now?
I guess it is down there.
3 days.
Of the Yaz week, and I find your comments distasteful, crass, and uninformed. Baseball, Ray. You have no clue about Red Sox history.
Damn right.
And what this week meant to many fans.
I can't. People.
You people exist. You would rather talk about Antonio Brown making the Patriots a better team despite his baggage. That's Zoe. He's directing that one at you.
Yeah.
I think he makes them worse off all around.
I'm talking about the skin falling off my feet.
Laughing at Yaz clothing. Really? Again, that was Zoe talking about his pants.
His pants never fit him.
What?
I go to Slack.
I wasn't looking at his pants. That's your department.
I'll go to Slack. Hold on. Yep, the big one.
This seems like an email directed at you, Zoe.
What?
It says, you're only funny to yourselves. Problem is, there is no one to put you in your place when you're out of line, like today. You both should be embarrassed. That's from Terry in Millbury, Mass. Thank you, Terry. So magical.
I agree with him that embarrassment is a major component of this story.
Absolutely.
Embarrassment plays a big part.
So special what we got to witness last night. Magical is what I would say. You know, how long did that game last night?
6 hours.
6 hours.
I mean, what was the most magical part for you? Was it him walking out in the field?
Oh, the introduction. Goosebumps.
The introduction or what?
Goosebumps. Introducing a Yaz for the first time since 83 at Fenway Park. Raise the hair on the back of your neck, Hardy. How does it not? Have you no soul?
Well,
have you no understanding of Red Sox history?
I myself did not feel moved.
Do you not care?
I didn't care until.
Fly to center field deep. Going back, Jackie Brown. Yastrzemski takes it out of Fenway. His 20th home run of the season.
Boy, did he put a swing on this ball or what?
What a magical moment that is.
It's too bad him and his grandfather didn't have a catch in the outfield.
Oh.
they probably did it underneath. They probably did underneath in the batting cage.
Need with a moment.
Tom Warner probably.
Gotta go clean up.
Took some swings.
Anyone have a wipe? Sanitary napkin?
Who planned the walkout? Like, were they walking around the field and walking in front of the green monster?
That wasn't planned. How dare you?
That wasn't staged.
What are you talking about, Zoe?
Hey, Grandpa, come on
Grandson.
I think they walked through the wall.
Walking around.
I think they went in where the scoreboard was in the wall.
I believe that was part of it. Yes, that was part of the play. I mean, that was part of what happened, that the cameras just happened to be rolling on. How dare you take a magical moment, a magical week.
Week.
This ride on a magical train that is the man they call
the
Mike.
The man they call Mike.
Mike. Yastrzemski. Mike. Yastrzemski. Mike. Yastrzemski. The man they
call you. Mike. Today's takeaways coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Air.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, 6 locations. New Assistant Government Center, and the virtual program is available worldwide. Losing weight has never been so convenient.
All right. What do we got? What do we got?
We got today,
what
Jim.
Got? What do we got today, Jim?
Come on, Jim.
Patriots fans have a name they can attach to the Antonio Brown thing.
Yes, they do.
Daniel Wallach joined us earlier.
Yes, he did.
I think an even better precedent is Marcellus Darius of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two women filed lawsuits against him last year, civil lawsuits in Florida State Court, both of which allege sexual assault. And in one of the lawsuits, the victim or the plaintiff alleged that he gave her a sexually transmitted disease. So it lines up exactly, you know, the same as the Brown lawsuit. That you have civil lawsuits, nothing other than a civil lawsuit. And in the Darius case, the NFL never investigated and didn't even consider. They never put Darius on the NFL commissioner's exempt list. So these two situations could end up being treated disparately. No action taken in the civil case against Darius. And if Brown is placed on the commissioner's exempt list, you're looking at disparate treatment of two similarly situated people.
It's Marcell Darius. Yes. How about Zoe with the Sosie?
I just like the word of him using the word disparate.
Yes,
like
that. Twice.
I know.
Disparately and disparate.
Right. Disparity, I know I've used, but disparate.
Lawyers.
Going to start working that in.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah, it's nice.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's a Gasper-esque word.
I'll let Tomlin do it.
Something you'd see in his column.
Disparization of the play and the process to incorporate him into our
key difference,
structure.
Key difference there between those lawsuits. Both of his lawsuits from Marcell Darius, Jane Doe filings. The accuser's name was not known. The accuser was not known.
So should we hold it with less?
NFL couldn't reach out to the accuser. They didn't know who the accuser was. The accuser wasn't willing to let themselves be known, not willing to cooperate.
Yeah.
So there was no cooperating accuser. And in this case, there is. So the NFL can investigate this case. They couldn't investigate that case without there being someone who was willing to talk to the NFL. And as Daniel Wallach wrote in his story on The Athletic, the difference between having a civil filing and having someone who's willing to talk to the league is a world of difference in the legalities of the CBA and whether or not they could do something to a player. Notably, most notably, I should say, going on the commissioner's exempt list. So get that interview, by the way, if you missed it. It's pretty good. At our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Catch our podcast there.
It's also in our Zolak and Bertrand in a Nutshell podcast.
Oh, it's in the Nutshell.
That's nice. A little. It's all smashed right into a little show.
Yeah, it's smashed right in there.
Crack that thing open. Yes. Give it a listen.
Yes.
Yeah. Kyle Van Noy on the show today?
Yes, he was.
How's AB been in the locker room?
Ooh, as you would expect, loud, obnoxious, you know, I'm playing. Nah, he's been cool. He's been chilling. He works hard like the rest of us. What if I just said he's been the biggest ass, you know?
Be a headline. Be a headline.
That would have been a good headline. Huh?
That'd be huge for the show, right?
Good for the show.
Yeah, we'd have been famous after that one. I think Bill would have came and said something to me on that one.
I bet it's been a little loud.
No, what makes you think that? Think that's his personality?
I think there's times to be loud. Sure. Yeah, I'm sure he's let himself be known.
I think Kyle's a little numb right now. He said he was a little under the weather.
He sounds like probably no sleep.
I don't believe the 8 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah,
he's probably numb to it all.
You think he has people? Take the kid.
I don't know.
Take the baby. Put the baby in a basement. You know they say you got to let it cry through the night.
Like, I don't think you Ferberize it 6 days old.
We leave it in the crib in its room, and you hear it. So like, oh, you're still up. Like, no, it's got to get used to it. So put the baby in the basement, the bassinet, let it cry down.
A little young for Ferberizing.
Then you go down, it's throw up everywhere. Ugh. Wow. Baby got upset. Cried itself to sleep, though.
You want a good Bert Breer laugh before we end?
Yes, please.
You're an animal.
Yeah, Bert's laugh.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Jesus Christ, Bert. If I had one of those haunted houses, I would hire him and dress him up like a witch.
Yeah, it's like a Michael Jackson video.
Thriller.
Like Thriller. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Bert.
Jesus Christ, Bert. All right, Zoe.
All right. See you tomorrow.
We'll be doing this again tomorrow.
What's Mike Yastrzemski?
I hope it's another magical night at Fenway. That's what I'm hoping for.
Mal's will have a cover show on the baseball.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Felger and Maserati on a Wednesday, September 18th. Here from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester. Hi, Maz.
Good, you.
Just Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray in our update studio.
Hello.
Let's do some Antonio Brown to start.
Shocker.
I thought we were onto something last night when Daniel Wallach, sports lawyer who you probably know from Deflategate. He now writes for The Athletic. He was on the Midday Show earlier with Beadle and Zoe. You're familiar with his work. He now, again, as I said, writes for The Athletic. And he posted something on The Athletic last night that said basically,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.